Well, good morning. Haven't seen you all since last year. Had to say it. Just had to say it. All right, let's pray again. Almighty God, in the beginning you spoke and you created everything, and you uphold the universe by the word of your power. Your word has authority over your created beings, including Satan. Your word has authority over human and man-made traditions, and your word cannot be broken. And so we humbly come before you and your word this morning, and we pray that you would sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning we will be looking at John chapter 17, beginning in verse 17. So you can take your copy of God's word and turn there with me, John 17, 17. As you're turning, our preaching schedule for the next couple weeks, Lord willing, looks like this. Next week, we'll be having a guest preacher. One of my dear friends, Joshua Molding, will be preaching from Hebrews 1, 1 through 4 next week. And then, Lord willing, the following week, we will begin a series looking at Genesis 1 through 3, kind of a deep dive into the foundations of everything. So that's kind of our plan, again, Lord willing. This morning, our words for kids are sanctify, or plural, sanctifies, and rule slash rules. Those are, we just have two words this morning. And this morning we're going to be concluding a two-week mini-series on the importance of Scripture. And my theme for this series is also my prayer for all of us this year. My prayer is that God would sanctify us in His Word, that God would make us more like Christ Jesus, that God would set us apart from the world so that we could be devoted to holy service to Him. So that's my theme and my prayer for us in this year. Last week we learned that when Scripture speaks, God speaks, and when you listen to God speak, you will get to know Him, and there's no greater treasure in this universe than knowing God through Christ Jesus. This morning, we're going to look at two truths. We're going to look at the truth that Jesus rules over us in His Word, and then we're going to look at the truth that Jesus sanctifies us in His Word. And our main passage for consideration, like I said, is John 17, 17. I'm going to read through verse 19. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And this is Jesus praying for His disciples in what is known as the high priestly prayer. Jesus prays, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself," or actually, "I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth." This is God's holy word. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. You may be seated. At the beginning of every year, countless people challenge themselves to New Year's resolutions. They look back on the year and they look at the areas where they want to or they need to grow. And so then they challenge themselves to grow in that particular area, whether it's trying to eat better, trying to work out more, trying to save more money, travel more, laugh more, whatever it might be, people make New Year's resolutions at this time of the year. And so as you look back on your life from last year, and as you look forward to your life this year, I want to challenge you to make reading the Bible one of your New Year's resolutions. Now, for some of you, that might mean just being faithful and continuing to read the Bible. For others of you, it might mean developing a new habit of reading the Word. But whatever the case may be, I challenge you as you look forward to this year to read the Bible. I challenge you to take up our Bible reading plan, and to read along with us. I challenge you to read the Bible this year. And there are many reasons why I'm making this challenge, but this morning I'm going to look at two of them. Two reasons why I want to challenge you to read the Bible this year, and these are my 2 points this morning. I challenge you to read the Bible this year because first, Jesus rules over us in his word, and second, Jesus sanctifies us through his word. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Jesus rules over us in his word, and Jesus sanctifies us through his word. So first point, Jesus rules over us in Scripture. So let's start with a question that we've really been looking at for the last few months. Who is Jesus? Well, he's one person of the Trinity. He was in the beginning with God. We've learned that he created, all things were created through him, and all things were created for him. And we learn throughout the Bible story that his creation rebelled against him. And because he is holy, he had to separate himself from his most cherished of creatures, which is humanity. We all have sinned against him, and on our own we deserve his fury of wrath. And one way that we have sinned against him is by disrespecting and disobeying his authority. So with that in mind, one way that you can think about sin, one way you can define sin, is like this. Sin is disobeying God's word in anything that we think, feel, or do. Sin is disobeying God's word in anything that we think, feel, or do. And we are all guilty of this. And because of this, this is why God the Father sent Jesus Christ the Son to come into this world, which we just celebrated when we celebrate Christmas. The King left the riches of heaven to come and live in this sin-infected wasteland. He lived the perfect life that we could never live. He never disobeyed God's word once. And by faith in his perfect life, his righteousness is counted to us. Do you believe that Jesus lived the perfectly righteous life in your place? That's part of the gospel, but it actually continues. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ died the death that we deserve on the cross. The King of creation was mocked and beaten by creatures who were made in his own image. And even worse than that, he bore the wrath of God that we deserve on the cross. Now, I have a friend who told me this story about his son from many years ago. And at the time of the story, his son was around 10 years old. And let's just say that his name is Joe. That's not his actual name, but his name is Joe. Let's just say that. Joe really loves his mom. But every night during dinner, Joe would disobey his parents by not eating the food that they gave him. And so one night, Joe's dad, trying to discipline and shepherd the heart of his son, said to Joe, "If you do not eat your food, I'm going to throw your food in the trash, and your mom, whom you love, is going to have to dig the food out of the trash, and she's going to have to eat it in your place." Well, you can probably imagine what happened. Joe disobeyed his mom and his dad and didn't eat his food, and so his dad threw the food in the trash, and his mom had to go into the trash, take the food out, put it on the plate, and she ate it. His mom took the penalty that Joe deserved for his sin. And this is the same way with the gospel. If you believe in Jesus Christ, he took the penalty that you deserve for your sin by your disobedience to God. By faith in the death of Christ Jesus, God's wrath has been satisfied in your place. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? Do Jesus Christ died, bore the wrath of God that we deserve, and on the third day he rose from the grave and he conquered sin, death, and Satan. And when we look at the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, that's generally what we think of when we hear the word gospel. And that is the heart of the gospel, but it's not the fullness of it. I think sometimes we stop there. But we need to remember that after Jesus rose from the grave, all authority in heaven and on earth was given to him. He taught his disciples for 40 days, and then he was ascended or taken up into heaven, where he is right now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says that he is now the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus is the king of every king throughout the history of the world. He is the head of all rule and authority, as we looked at in Colossians. Jesus Christ is the king, and he is king no matter what we may believe about him. He is the king. He created all things. He keeps all things going. He owns all things. He has authority over all things. As I mentioned before, my stepdad owns his own heating and air conditioning business in Minot. And as owner, what he says and what he decides has the final say. As the owner of the business, he has the authority over the business. Well, beloved, Jesus' business is the entire universe. He has authority over all things. Jesus Christ is king. He is your ultimate authority. He created you. He keeps you alive. He has authority over all things, including every aspect of you. He is our Lord, and we are his servants. He is king, and we are his people. And we have been redeemed by our king to live for his glory, not our own. And here's the beauty of it. The glory of our king also works for our ultimate good. Our king wants nothing but the best for us, and we know that because of the lengths he has gone to save us. We have a king who loves us. We have a king who has served us. We have a king who has saved us. Or to say it in another way, if you believe that Jesus Christ has saved you, you must also believe that he is your Lord. This is why Christians have proclaimed and confessed throughout the history of the church that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior. He's both. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Jesus Christ is both our Lord and our Savior. He is our King. Now you may be wondering why I'm going into so much detail about that. I say everything that I've said so far to ask this question, because I wanted to set this up. Okay, so Jesus is King. Jesus is our Lord. And so then here's the really important question. How does King Jesus exercise his authority over us? How does Jesus lord over us? How does Jesus rule over us? He rules over us in his word. Jesus lords over us in his word. And I want to make this point briefly by looking at our king's view of Scripture. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at, sadly, too briefly, three passages that give us a glimpse of what Jesus believes about Scripture. And sadly, I won't have time to go into all of them or even read them, but I have the references up on the screen here. So first, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil tempted him 3 times, and after every temptation, Jesus, to defeat the devil in this temptation, does anybody know what he does? He quotes, I'm a little hard of hearing, but yeah, he quotes Scripture, that's right, 3 times in a row, Satan tempts him, and Jesus quotes Scripture. Again, Satan tempts him, Jesus quotes Scripture, Satan tempts him, and Jesus quotes Scripture 3 times in a row, showing that to Jesus, he believed that Scripture had the authority over his creation, including Satan himself. Another example is Matthew 15, verses 1 through 6. In this passage, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees for placing their human or their man-made tradition over the Word of God. And Jesus is contrasting the two. He's contrasting human traditions and the Word of God. And he is emphatic that human traditions must submit to and be subject to the Word of God and not the other way around. Jesus never appeals to any other authority that is on par with Scripture or his own words, which we have recorded for us in the Bible. Again, we're looking at these two briefly, but another one is John 10, 31 through 38. In this passage, the Jews are trying to stone Jesus for claiming, they were saying that he was blaspheming by claiming that he was God. And in the midst of this, in his defense, Jesus does not appeal to his own authority. He does not appeal to the authority of the Father, but he appeals to Scripture, and he quotes Psalm 82. And in the midst of his appeal, he makes this parenthetical comment, and he says, "The Scriptures cannot be broken." No one in Jesus' day would have denied that the Scriptures can be broken. And therefore, Jesus appeals to it as having the full authority of God. Much more could be said, and we're just kind of scratching the surface here, but I hope you get an idea of Jesus' view of Scripture. To Jesus, Scripture carries the full authority of God. To Jesus, Scripture has authority even over Satan. Scripture has authority over man-made tradition. Scripture cannot be broken. Scripture is God's word, and it is our ultimate authority. And to disbelieve or disobey God's word is to disbelieve or disobey God himself. So again, to make the point, Jesus is Lord. He lords over us in his word. Jesus is king, and he rules over us in his word. And I think generally we don't like to be ruled over. We don't want to be ruled over. But when it's King Jesus, it is for our ultimate good. And his word is our ultimate authority. The authority of Scripture means that God's word has the authority of God himself. Now there's a famous bumper sticker, maybe you've heard of it. It's kind of old by now, but the bumper sticker says, "God says it, I believe it, that settles it." I think there's a picture of it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. What do you think is wrong with this bumper sticker? I think the I believe it part, that's right. Thanks for saying it loudly. I heard people saying stuff, but I couldn't hear what you were saying. Yes, it's the I believe it part, because it suggests that the authority of what God says isn't settled until someone believes it. The slogan should say, "God says it, that settles it." As R.C. Sproul says, quote, "If God reveals something, that revelation carries the weight of his authority. There is no higher authority. Once God opens his holy mouth, the matter is settled." End quote. The Bible is our sole written authority for faith and for life. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. If God says it, that settles it. God's word carries the full weight of God himself. And to disbelieve or disobey God's word is to disbelieve or disobey God, who wants nothing but the best for us. Or let me say it more seriously and more pointedly. You cannot believe that Jesus is your Lord without believing in the authority of Scripture. Or to say the reverse, if you don't believe in the authority of Scripture, then you do not believe that Jesus is your Lord. And if you do not believe that Jesus is your Lord, then you need to seriously ask the question, are you saved? Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is both Lord and Savior. and only God's word carries the ultimate authority in our life. Therefore, we need to read the word. And so by way of application, I challenge you to make reading the Bible one of your New Year's resolutions this year. I challenge you to take up and read the word with us. Read the Bible this year, because Jesus rules over us in Scripture, and Jesus sanctifies us through Scripture. Second point this morning, Jesus sanctifies us through Scripture. Let's look at one more passage that describes Jesus' view of Scripture. And I read it earlier, but John 17, 17 through 19, I'll read it one more time. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. In this passage, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And he's talking to God the Father, so he's saying, God the Father, your word is truth. But what a bold prayer. To Jesus, God's word is truth. To Jesus, God's word carries the full authority of God. And Jesus believes that God's word is able to sanctify us. And so he prays that God would sanctify his disciples in the word. And that is my prayer for us in this upcoming year. So what does it mean to be sanctified? Peggy did a great job earlier with the kids saying that to be sanctified means to grow, to be more like God, to be more like Christ. Or to dive in a little deeper, to be sanctified is to be set apart for God. It is to be completely dedicated to God. It is to be made holy. Now, I think I've used this illustration before, but one of the closest things that we have in our culture to something that is holy is a holiday. A holiday like New Year's Day that we just celebrated a few days ago is a day that is set apart from all the other days of the year for something special. It's not your typical day. It wasn't a typical Wednesday last week. It was a holiday. It was a holy day. It was a day that was set apart for something special. In New Year's Day case, it was to celebrate the New Year. To be sanctified is to be set apart for something special. It is to be set apart from the world to God and for God. And so Jesus prays that his disciples would be set apart from the world for God. And it is my prayer for our church that we would be set apart from the world so that we would be completely dedicated to God. And this is the goal of reading and meditating on Scripture. This is the goal of our Bible reading challenge, that God would sanctify us, that God would set us apart from the world so that we would be dedicated to holy service for him. And in context, that's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about sanctification. He's talking about being set apart for holy service to God. So what is this holy service? Well, verse 18 answers this, and he says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. God the Father sent Jesus Christ into the world to seek and to save the lost. Jesus sent his disciples into the world to seek and to save the lost. And by implication and extension, God is sending us into the world to do the same, to seek and to save the lost. Our holy service to God is to seek and to save the lost and to share Christ with them. Our holy service to God is to build the church. And there's no greater mission that we can take part in. There's no greater kingdom to be building. There's no greater purpose for our lives than to be set apart for this holy service to God. And this holy service to God starts with the inner renewal of sanctification. Our holy service to God starts with our hearts being transformed by the Word of God. Our holy service to God starts with us growing in our set-apartness. And so this is my prayer, that God would sanctify us in His Word, that God would transform our hearts through His Word, that God would set us apart for holy service to Him through His Word. This is the goal in my prayer of our upcoming year through this Bible reading plan. We cannot be sanctified in the Word if we are not reading the Word. And therefore, we need to remember that our goal in reading Scripture is not just to read it to check it off the list or to say that, oh, I've done this thing, or sometimes we can even puff ourselves up and say, look at how great I am because I read the Bible. That's the opposite of our goal, really. Our goal is in reading Scripture is to know God. Our goal in reading Scripture is to be sanctified by His Word. And therefore, we need to do more than just read it. We need to meditate on it. We need to apply it to our hearts and our lives. We need to always have it on the forefront of our minds and our hearts. Now, I have a friend who told me about an experience he had at the grocery store. This was a while ago, and it was in Fargo. But he was at the grocery store a while ago, and he was standing in line, and the people in front of him, they looked pretty raggedy. They were yelling and swearing at each other, and they were buying just a bunch of junk food. And when it got to their turn to pay, the lady was really upset because someone borrowed her card and maybe didn't give it back. We don't know the whole detail, but that's just kind of what she was mad about. Someone took her card, and so they just left without getting any of the stuff that they wanted. And so my friend is a very reflective person. He was reflecting on this, and he realized that he didn't help them out because he was only thinking about himself. He knows from Scripture that God calls him to be selfless and sacrificial and to love others, and this would have been a great opportunity to do that. But he didn't because he didn't have Scripture on the forefront of his mind and his heart, and he was focusing on himself. We need to always have Scripture on the forefront of our mind and our heart if we are to be set apart for holy service to God. We need to be meditating on Scripture and applying it to our hearts and our lives. And so as we dive into this Bible reading plan, here's just a few suggested tips to help us along the way. So first, have a good intentional prayer before you read the Word. Here's just a few examples that you could use. John Piper recommends using the IOUs acronym, which I found really helpful over the years. Father, incline, open, unite, and satisfy my heart in your Word. And this just helps get us focused. Another example of a prayer that you can use is straight from Romans 12:2. Father, I pray that you renew my mind and transform my heart in your Word. Or another example is John 17:17 that we're looking at this morning. You can pray, Father, sanctify me in the truth. Your Word is truth. And I believe that God will answer that prayer. And I can't imagine what God would do if we're all praying these prayers together every time we open up the Bible together every day this year. Another thing that you can do, second, to help your Bible study is to read the passage carefully and ask questions about it. Now, this is not exhaustive by any means, but these are just a few examples of questions that you can use. What does this say about God? What does this say about man? And when I say man, I mean humanity. How does it point to Jesus? How should this text change me? And I have a little half sheet of paper that I placed on the table as you come in with some of these questions on it. I also have a couple reminders and then a few resources on it to hopefully aid you in your study. So if that's helpful, that is there for you. Another thing that you can do, thirdly, is after reading your passage, you can pray. Ask God to help you believe and apply the passage. And this could be a good place where you can add in a prayer of repentance after reading the passage, because you're looking into the Word of God and you're realizing that, oh, I'm failing in living up to this, and so you can pray a prayer of repentance. We've talked about the CAR acronym before, and I think that's really helpful. Confess your sins, affirm who you are in Christ, and request God's grace to change. And final, just suggestion is, fourthly, talk about the passage with others. There's something about reading something and then saying it out loud. Once you say it out loud, I feel like you're able to remember and think about it more. So talk about the passage with others. And this is the beauty of us all kind of doing the same plan together, is that we're reading the same things in a given week. And so, hey, what did you think about this passage? And you can learn from each other as well. And so talk about the passage with others. And so those are just a few examples of things that you can do to be intentional in your Bible reading this year. And so just briefly, I went over the sheet last week, but just real briefly, I just want to touch on some things. So there are three levels that you can participate in this Bible reading plan. You can read just the New Testament, you can read just the Old Testament, or you can do the whole Bible. And just note, if you do the whole Bible, you need to do the Old Testament side and the New Testament side on every day, so they're the same. And so what happens, what's nice then, is that if there's someone who's just doing the New Testament and you're doing the whole thing, we're still reading the same New Testament passages and we can talk about them. So no matter what level you're doing, we can still talk about the passage together. I also, if you want an electronic copy, I have this on PDF that I can easily send to you. I don't know if you're on Facebook and you want a copy of this, I can easily send it to you. Just email me. Let's see. Also note that the plan is set to begin tomorrow, and if you've gotten a head start, that's great. That'll help you out maybe. But the plan is set to begin tomorrow, and it'll end January 2nd next year. So that's the plan. And then just a reminder that the goal is to know God. The goal is to be sanctified through the Word of God and not just to check it off the list. All right, so in conclusion, as you look back on your life from last year and as you look forward to your life in this coming year, I challenge you to make reading the Bible one of your New Year's resolutions. I challenge you to take up this Bible reading plan, and at whatever level you would like to, I challenge you to participate with us. I challenge you to do this because Jesus rules over us in His Word, and Jesus sanctifies us through His Word. Let us pray. Oh, Father, that is our prayer, that you would sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. God, I pray that we would take up this Bible reading challenge, and at whatever level we participate, I pray that we would read and meditate on your word so that we would know you better, so that we would be set apart from this world, so that we would live unto you and for you. And I pray that your word would be hidden in our hearts so that we may not sin against you. I pray that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God, I pray that we would see that your word is more desirable than gold and that it would be sweeter than honey to our lips. God, would we love your word and would we love talking about it together? And as we enter into this new year, would we be changed mightily by your word? Would you continue to work in us and among us? For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.